On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, hillbilly food, obituary, mama drama, and planning a high school reunion.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, you called me a bean eater.
I did.
Is that derogatory?
No, because you weren't eating beans.
I am a bean eater.
You are a bean eater.
I've never heard that being derogatory.
I had heard that as being derogatory about Mexicans when I was growing up. But
well,
I don't know. I think my house made up things to be derogatory sometimes. More on that one later.
Well, derogatory or not, I guess it is something that us hillbillies have in common with Mexicans.
We like our beans.
We like
pinto beans like no one else in the world.
Soup beans and cornbread.
Heck yes.
Use your leftover cornbread to crumble up in your milk afterwards. Mm-hmm. God, it's the best, people. It's the best. It's a hillbilly delicacy.
It is. It is. It is. You like yours with ham.
Yeah. You know, beans... And again, it's pinto beans specifically.
Yeah.
There's no white northern, none of that crap.
No,
it's pinto beans.
Yeah.
And then from there, every hillbilly has their own recipe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. It's funny for me because we're talking about this. To me, thinking about hillbilly beans, it's pinto beans with ham. And like ham is the meat that goes into pinto beans.
Right.
It just is. There is no other. There's no the white northerns or anything like that.
No.
All right. But in the summertime, when you have gardens coming in and you have snap beans and green beans and pole beans and half runner beans, there's a million different kinds of, you know, the long pod beans.
Right.
That we used to eat. But we always ate it with treat meat.
Spam, in other words.
Yeah. No. We were brand loyal to treat, which is just exactly like Spam.
Right. Well, people, for whatever reason, Spam has the brand recognition.
It does.
People around the world are going to recognize Spam.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to recognize treat.
I don't recognize it, though. No, I'm kidding.
How dare you talk about
treat? How dare you
talk
about Spam
at the same time? Well, anyway, I'm a bean eater too, and my recipe is just pinto beans, water, chopped up ham, and an onion.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Put that
in the crock pot for overnight. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's delicious.
And in your cornbread, you crumple up your cornbread in your soup beans.
Yes,
it's like you would crackers in chili or something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, right?
Oh yeah, that's a hillbilly delight.
So, yeah, anyway. So, I am a bean eater. I never heard that being derogatory. This is a fact. If you're a bean eater, you're a bean eater. Oh, well. Anyway.
Well.
Did you see the obituary of this old lady?
I sure did.
Poor old.
I was like, wow.
Poor old Kathleen. How you pronounce that? Dimlow?
I think Devil Woman is more like it.
D-E-H-M-L-O-W, Dimlow, which Devil. I got to say, sounds like the way her life went, she was kind of dim, and she was kind of low.
Yeah. She was not a good mom, and I did read the article with her son.
Oh, yeah?
The one that put the obituary in there, and actually, I think... one or two newspapers refused to publish it, and the one that did, after it went viral, they pulled it down very quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me read this obituary real quick. Kathleen Dimlow was born March 19th, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude Shunk of Wabasco. It's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Good paragraph, right?
Yes.
Second paragraph. She married Dennis Dimlow at St. Anne's in Wabasco in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay. Normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
No
yes.
big deal here. Her little picture's over here, too, in this thing. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle Dimlow, and moved to California. All right. You're like, that's a little inappropriate.
That's a little little too much information there in a obituary.
Next paragraph.
Yeah.
She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Shunk. Abandoned her children. Last paragraph. She passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Jay and Gina, and they will, and they understand that this world is a better place without her.
Oh,
damn.
Ooh, that is some catharsis, which I'm getting ready to do later.
And Gina and Jay must have gotten together, I would hope.
Yeah.
To approve this message, right?
Yeah, I think they did.
If Jay put this in without Gina's permission, saying that we both pretty much think the world's a better place without her, that wouldn't be good.
You know, yeah, that's one of those things, before you state it publicly, you should probably get everyone's seal of approval.
So the newspaper pulled it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't see why. If somebody paid for it.
I know. Me too.
I mean, I get it. It's some kind of weird taboo to talk about dead people and this and that. But at some point, I don't know. Not, you don't have to put it in a paper, I don't suppose.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't have to sit around and lie about it either. There's a lot of people, oh, they were such a good person. They were, and then people know they weren't.
And you're looking, you're giving them side eye going, are we here about the same person?
Right. You don't have to be this brutally honest, I don't guess, but at the same time, there's some line about, I guess they could have just put the facts there, when she died and when she whatever, but.
Yeah.
I don't know, what do you think about that?
There's a part of me that really does understand sometimes just needing to say, hey, this was my story and I finally get to tell it.
Yeah. Like it gets to get out there.
Yeah. Because if you're abused or neglected by your mother, there's such a taboo for saying that. It's like it's perfectly acceptable to say that fathers commit child abuse, but it's unimaginable to believe that a mother would, or that a mother would abandon their kids. Like, even when it does happen, like, some of our court systems still kind of actively work to put children back with their mothers.
True. There is some kind of a...
We're just built. Like mothers give birth, and we're just built to think that they're hardwired to be parents.
And it's silly to think. Of course, there's some mothers out there who are awful. It's like there's dads that are awful. You're right. That is kind of silly, and we all do assume that, don't we?
Yeah.
And how was I going to say? Some of these. Well, and oh, I know. There was an article we talked about on the show a long, long time ago, I think. But and there was articles about basically women who, if really deep down inside, they wish they never had kids, and that's a big taboo.
Yeah.
Like they're never allowed to say that. They're never allowed to think that.
Yeah.
And let's just face it. Some people weren't meant to have kids. And there's obviously women out there that wish they never had kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to be, right? That's not her situation. She just,
she just abandoned. Yeah. She just left her first two kids and
for her husband's brother.
Yeah.
God, can you imagine those family reunions and
Holy shit. What do you want to bet they don't get together?
This didn't go to anything. No. What about funerals? Shit like that. Just I better not. What are we going to do with old Gertie? Are we going to invite her or not?
I think there was mention of that in the article that years later.
Or Kathleen.
Like somebody was staying at a grandparent's house or something like that. And she showed up with her other kids and she was being a parent towards them and acted like her first two kids weren't even there. Like just totally ghosted them like they weren't there.
Wow. Well, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll bet this obituary is 100% accurate.
Yeah, you don't stand up and say, hey,
Yeah. Hey, my mom's awful. She left us.
Yeah. Welcome. Yeah, that's pitiful. I can't begin to imagine the depth of pain that they must have had that fell like that.
Yeah.
And watch her raise another family.
And will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Jay and Gina, and they understand that this world is a better place without her. Holy crap.
Dang, that's a burn. Every time I hear it, it hurts.
That sting, right?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, you've been having some mama drama.
Yeah, and mine is nowhere near that bad.
We're not ready to...
We're not writing obituaries at all, at all, at all.
We've had mama drama in the past, so it's an ongoing soap opera.
It has been. It has
been. But it's good therapy to talk it out.
It is, and sometimes it's fun to try to laugh about it. So I realize that the story I'm about to tell here is not funny. Like, what happened is horrifying. It's awful. It's kind of life-changing. But I need to laugh about it a little bit here, so I'm going to poke a little bit of fun.
I think that's a good preference. That's a good, what's the word for it? Oh, warning.
Trigger alert.
That's good. So anyway, so what's your latest mama drama here?
Well, all right. There's a little background to it. There had been some drama weeks before because I missed 1 week going in to visit because I had some kind of whooping crud and I didn't want to take her germs.
Right.
And yeah, I just told her, you know, hey, I'm going to have to skip this week. It'll be next week. Well, evidently that upset Mom.
And your mom lives about 3 hours away.
Yeah. 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 And what I do is,
so it's a trek. It's not like across town.
No. I drive, visit a few hours, you know, 4 hours or so and drive back.
Right.
And she's been talking behind my back about how I don't come and stay the night.
Right.
I'll be honest. It's exhausting to stay that long with her right now. She's very...
And all this has come about because your dad passed away
about a year ago. Yeah.
So your mom's having trouble and tried to help.
She's really having some grieving issues and just some angry issues. And
regular listeners will know from past stuff, but just to make it clear to whoever might be first time here.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you've been going back and forth.
So I've been going back and forth. Anyhow, communication issues. She wouldn't answer texts or phone calls for a few weeks. I finally got a hold of her. When she sent me a very passive aggressive text about how she doesn't matter in my life and I hadn't been in 5 weeks. And it's like, I've been trying to get in touch with you to see if you were going to be home or not.
How old is your mom?
68.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I went in. It seemed like a reasonably pleasant visit. I think we were both on our best behavior, which is great. I love that.
Yeah.
I want us to be on our best behavior.
Yeah. Under all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, this is the week leading up to exactly a year since Dad died. Mom takes anniversaries and the exact time, like the first week she went back the next day and waited there where he died. And then the next week she waited there where he died. And then the next month she waited there where he died at that time, that day. You know, she's gotten this weird habit of that. And so the year is going to be a big milestone for her.
So she's big into anniversaries and marking.
Yeah.
Almost whatever.
So she's got herself very worked up right now and has been.
Because the year anniversary is coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I mean, she looked awful when I went in. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. When I went in to see her, I bragged on her hair and, you know, tried to find things that I could brag on. But she hasn't slept. She's got dark circles. Her hair hasn't been brushed. I don't think she's changed her clothes in a while. I mean, she's not really looking healthy at the moment.
She lives by herself in an apartment away from the house where the death occurred.
Yes.
But within 100 yards of that house.
Yeah. Yeah.
In an apartment that they owned, and
okay.
So she's in this apartment, not looking very good. She wants you to visit, and she wants to. And that's kind of, first of all, to me, everybody's odd as far as what I'm trying to say is, odd is just relative. There's no right or wrong about anything. So if I say something's odd or that, you know, to me, everybody's
I'm not going to take it as a criticism right now. I promise, Hank.
But it seems, I don't know. My family would never, and maybe it's a guy girl thing, but they wouldn't expect me to go spend the night once every week or two at a place 3 hours away.
Yeah.
Is that something? Is that normal in your family?
No, she's trying to make it normal. And I'm resisting it.
Yeah.
I'm resisting that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. Again, setting your boundaries, doing your thing, whatever. But yeah, I've never seen a lot of families where people were expected once every 2 or 3 weeks to go spend the night. Usually it's over holiday weekends or some event where you have to, but not a regular occurring thing.
Our regular listeners remember I was gone for months. I stayed with her for months after Dad died.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
For a long time. Yeah. You did that. Yeah.
And that was an experience too.
Right. So you went to see her recently.
Yes, I did. And I had been talking to her on the phone. I knew this week was tough on her. She had told me several times about, and trigger warning here, she'd gotten into words with the neighbors. Because the neighbors had bought a couple of sheep.
This is in a little neighborhood, too, by the way.
I mean, it is. It's not in the middle of nowhere, but it's also not in town. It's not incorporated, and there are no laws against having sheep in your yard.
Even though you have another house literally 50 yards away. All the time, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Jeez.
Well, all right. So here's what they do.
The
little folks that live next door, and I'm just going to name names. Nobody's turning me in here. All right. Bless their hearts, Jeremy and Michelle next door are trying to keep the sheep from tormenting my mother. So they're moving their little pen and using them almost like lawnmowers. They just shuffle the pen a few feet, you know, as the day goes on, and the sheep just eat the grass. It's like moving a living lawnmower.
Because why not?
So they're moving the living lawnmower up closer and closer to the empty rental house my mom owns.
Yeah. Is that where they're going to be permanently?
Well, they're just moving it around with the grass. Okay. I don't think they're planning on permanently putting them in the holler where the water comes out.
Okay.
So they're going to do a sheep pen up there.
Sheep pen up the holler.
All right. Yeah. So mom just loses it because, you know, it looks like, and I quote, a pack of N-I-G-G-E-R-S live here.
And she says this to who?
To my cousins, Jeremy and Michelle, that are living there beside of her. And my cousin happens to be half Filipino, so he's very dark complected. And he was very upset that my mom was using racial slurs in front of his daughter. Do not blame him for this. And mom has told me the story.
Was she trying to be joking?
No.
Or can you get it?
No.
This was a mean.
No, this was mean.
This place looks like a pack of N-words live here.
Yes, exactly.
And it was a mean-spirited
absolutely.
Way to say it.
Absolutely. It was meant in the most hateful way you can imagine.
Gotcha.
And she keeps retelling the story expecting.
Which, by the way.
I don't know, a reaction, me to brag, something, me to be impressed, me to yell at her, some reaction.
Which, by the way. Black people aren't exactly known for being sheep herders. So I don't know where.
Shit.
So I don't know what that has anything to do with it. You have a bunch.
It's just one of mom's special words for breaking out when she can be offensive, I suppose. That was me being mean. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay. So.
Oh, so yeah, she tells a story and I didn't react well enough. So she's obviously miffed. You know when somebody's huffing around and puffing and they're mad at you?
They're mad at you because you didn't join in on the hate.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Or you didn't make the right. I know exactly what you mean. Like, Yes. Like,
I didn't join the party.
For me, on that ski trip, like the guy saying to me, like, well, I see you give me the stink eye every time I use the N-word. Well, what, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, because I don't use that.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't, you know, don't, yes. Don't make this a me thing. If you want to use the N-word, go ahead, I guess. But I'm not going to tell you not to, but I'm not going to chime in either.
I know.
So, yeah, it's crazy if people do that. Okay. So anyway, that, yeah, go ahead.
That was, and her neighbors, yes, they have an animal thing going on. Okay. Hands down.
They have an animal hoarding problem.
They do. It's a freaking petting zoo. I agree. But Bunny, they would sheep, do anything for her.
Right.
They gave my dad CPR as he was dying. They are phenomenal people and incredibly patient and being put through hell right now with their neighbor, my mother.
And she's very close neighbor. I said 50 yard. They are literally across the fence.
She throws shit into their yard from her porch.
Yeah. We're talking that close.
Yeah. Yeah. Monkey chucks it. Yeah. When she feeds their rabbits that way too. And there are rabbits. God, they're rabbits. They're dogs. Now they're sheep. It is.
Cats, turtles.
Yeah.
Mice.
Everything.
Chinchillas.
Probably. I think it's bad. It's a petting zoo. Full on petting zoo.
I understand your mom's frustration, but you can't say that.
Yeah, that's so wrong. Then she was telling me exactly how much they spent on the sheep and how much they spent on the sheep food. And that was Jeremy's vacation money. And I'm keeping a carefully neutral face. And she's like, you don't think that's my business, do you? And I was like, not really. You know, when confronted, I'm like, not really. I can mouth it, you know? And I was cornered and had to say this.
Right. And I think you're right, by the way. I mean, yeah, it's not.
It's not anybody's business. It's their money. Whatever they spend it on, it's theirs.
And even if the sheep or the goats or the rabbits or whatever, if they're making noise, well, you can tell them nicely. Yeah. But move is it. That even the problem? Or is it just that
no,
they're there?
No,
I can't
no,
imagine sheep just being very party sheep animal
they're
type
not,
things.
They're not. They're not. It's not. It's just.
It's not like roosters that crow
she's
all
She's looking
night.
For things to be mad about. So after that, she grabbed the phone up and called Lowe's back and spent 20 minutes chewing out the girl on the phone that was trying to get her. And this is crazy. This is nuts of white people problems.
And this is why you're coming to visit her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go to visit her and she gets on the phone with Lowe's.
For 20 minutes.
About her
refrigerator.
Like that couldn't wait for you to leave.
No. Had to be done in front of me.
Right.
Okay.
Weird.
I agree. All right. This is how crazy and remote this is. She bought a Whirlpool refrigerator and the light burnout. And it's one of those crazy refrigerators that you have to have a repairman to replace the light bulb because there's no way to get these plastic covers off. Well, there's not a Whirlpool repairman in the entire southern West Virginia area to pull from.
Of course not.
So Whirlpool tells Lowe's deliver her a new refrigerator. Lowe's goes, what? That's ridiculous. No. And they just keep going round and round in circles. In the meantime, mom is getting more and more pissed off because this is something really fun to be angry about. And she's finally nailed him down again over a burnt out light bulb. This thing isn't broken.
And it's frustrating, but it's not the end of the world frustrating.
Yeah. All right. So finally, there seems to be some sort of resolution on this. They're going to give her a new refrigerator.
Generous.
However, they have a new model now. They're no longer making the model she has.
Okay.
It's a new model. And with mom on the phone with the girl, I got the slide rule and we measured, made sure it would fit. It's exactly the same size.
Yep.
Looks exactly like it pretty much. But right now it's on sale. When mom bought her refrigerator, it was $2,200 and some dollars.
God, that's a fancy ass refrigerator.
All right. Yeah. Now, this one is $1,799 on sale.
Okay.
So she wanted a refund for the difference.
You wanted a $500 refund difference?
She wanted a $500 refund difference on the give me the refrigerator because the light bulbs burn out.
Gosh. I think they're being pretty generous giving her a refrigerator.
I do too. I do too.
Right? I'd be happy with that, wouldn't you?
I know. I mean, but she, like, this $500 is the end of the flipping world. And she's gotten so greedy lately. It's just been just eating at her. I just, God help you if you owe her 50 cents. It's bad.
Hmm. I wonder how that developed. Is that,
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. But
somebody's
trying
to cheat her out of $500 in her mind. That's what's happening here.
Yeah. And when she got off the phone, I was purple faced. Like, I had gone from white to red to purple. And she got right in my face and goes, "What? What is wrong?" And I said, "That might have gone a little better if you had been nicer."
Right.
Which is, I admit, wrong thing to say. And she told me that I was a bitch and trying to run her life and to go back to Kentucky. And I said, "Really?" And this, please understand that we had just had this moment where I had given her a blank gratitude journal and she had given me a women's daily Bible devotional. And she's sitting there calling me a bitch. And I mean, it just flew all over me in like a million different ways. And there's that book sitting there. And I will admit, I grabbed it and went whoomp on the table. Like, not bang, break the table. I mean, whoomp, you know, here is your daily devotional that you just gave me for calling me
right.
a bitch.
You threw it on the table. Whatever. Yeah. You did something to.
Yeah. All right.
That you were not pleased.
Exactly.
All right.
So she clocked me in the head with the gratitude journal.
I'll teach you. I'll knock you right in the head with a gratitude journal.
Yes, she did.
She hit you in the head with a gratitude journal.
She did.
You can't make this shit up.
No, no. And she was still yelling.
Hard. Hard enough.
It was hard enough. It was not a love tap. But okay. It was. Oh, man, it was just ridiculous. And she was still calling me a bitch repeatedly.
Which, by the way, we've said this on the show a million times, and this is getting to some good therapy in general. This is one of the reasons, at least in our area, we're just not very fond of religion and Christians specifically in general.
Yeah.
Because they all are, I mean, that is a large percentage of people around here. They act all Christian-y and all, you know, quote the Bible until one little thing goes wrong. And then all of a sudden it's cussing and they're just little babies that, it's like they use the Bible when it's convenient for them to prove their point or do something. But the second something goes haywire, or it's not to their advantage, then it's never read a page of a Bible.
Yeah, that's my mom sitting there hollering at me and
calling you a bitch, hitting in the head with a gratitude journal.
Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe she needs to get all this anger out. Like my mom has been furious with me for a very long time, and I don't know what over. I don't know. What
have you asked her?
Yeah, I have, and she doesn't have an answer for that besides, "Well, you went 5 weeks and didn't come in." You know, it's just the most recent slight of whatever. It's not a, like, it's been ongoing.
I got you.
But
she never really tells you the real answer.
Yeah. Now, before Dad died, when she would get worked up over something, he'd go, "Now, okay," and he'd calm her down. And there's nobody doing this anymore. You know, when she gets worked up now, brother number one that's living down there just goes, "Have at it." Like, he doesn't rein it in. And it's not really his responsibility to either.
No.
You know, that's just their relationship. But there is nobody reining it in whatsoever. And it is just like a tornado of hate and disgust going on.
Gosh, that's so
sad. And you walk in and she's already clicked. I mean, she's already dialed up to level 8 when I get there. She's already screaming what's wrong with her dog when I pulled into the driveway. Because the dog was so happy to see me because I'm basically the only person that picks it up and pets it anymore. And, sad.
And it's also weird. I'll point this out.
Uh-huh.
And this is weird. We don't use that word a lot. But
okay, go ahead.
Like things that you're telling me, like when I go, when we go there for Christmas and we stay a few days, it's exactly
the sweetest
opposite.
Thing in the world. That's the show.
Yeah.
That's the show.
And we have seen, and I have seen glimpses of it for anybody listening to be like, well, and maybe Petra's. No, there's a glimpse here and there. You can see it's bubbling under the surface.
You got front row tickets to batshit crazy at Christmas time last year.
Year before last.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I have seen that.
You have.
But it is odd that, that it's like a switch or somebody's bipolar or something. Because when we're there, it's you're so lovey-dovey.
Well,
and that's what brother number one is
getting all the time.
And it's huggy and kissy and, I just love you all and you all. I'm so proud of you and Hank and you just doing so. It's just the dogs getting all kinds of treats and pets and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So you're saying it's not like that any other time.
Nope.
That's just a weird show.
Nope. That's the show.
That's odd.
Welcome to the show.
All right. So you get hit in the head with the devotional journal. What happens after that?
Well, and then I was getting my stuff together. I was like, okay.
You had to be stunned.
If you really want me gone, I'm leaving. I'm going to, and I'm explaining to her, I am taking you at your word. I'm not playing games. I'm not running in circles. You tell me to leave, I'm going to leave. Well, she goes, into the kitchen still cussing and I'm like, maybe she really needs to get it out. And there's a bowl of dog water right there. And I'm like, if I throw water on her, she's going to get it out real fast. So I chuck some dog water on her, which is really a bad decision.
Yeah, I'm glad you recognize that. And in any circumstance, God knows we all make mistakes. People push your buttons. It happens.
It wasn't, and I remember thinking about it. Like, maybe if she gets it all out, that would.
Well, she did hit you in the head.
Yeah.
I keep saying the devotional journal because it's just funny
it's
to
a
me.
Gratitude.
Or gratitude journal, whatever the hell. She hits you in the head with that. So, in turn, right. You throw water on her.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome to Appalachia.
Welcome to Appalachia. And she comes screaming psycho at me with a bottle of Dawn dish soap.
Dawn dish soap.
Yes. And I am not sure if it was still in her hand when it made contact with my face or if it was chucked. And my mother has, anger aim. Our whole family has anger aim. Like, I can't hit the broadside of a barn unless I'm angry. But if I'm mad, I can hit you right between the eyes with a rock.
That's almost like some kind of mutant superpower.
It is, and we all have it. Every one of us, we can all do it. We're crazy like that. So, and I got her right in the mouth.
So she hit you in the mouth.
Yes, with a big bottle of dish soap.
Of course.
That is Jerry Springer crazy.
And by the way, Petra's lip is absolutely blue. It looks like I have beat her. She's been paranoid all week. When I can't go to Walmart, you're going to think you beat me. And I'm like, people don't give a shit. First of all, this is Appalachia. And secondly, that could just easily be a fever blister. You went to the dentist. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But it is obvious. It's obvious you've been something done to your mouth.
Yes.
and somebody hit you. Somebody hit you in the mouth. Your mom did.
I mean, just holy cow. And then after contact, she kept coming. So I went kind of to the side a little bit and to my left, kind of covering my face. And then when I came back up, she's got both arms up at me. And I had to grab her wrists to keep her from beating me in the face.
She's going to hit you again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a 68-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Who you've driven 3 hours.
To visit.
To go visit.
Yeah. 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 She's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, she was completely out of her mind with
rage. No doubt, you think?
Out of her mind with it. And I was like, oh, God, I have really, flipped a switch here. Whatever.
This dog water was Holy water.
It was.
Holy water on the devil.
Came after me.
That's what the hell happened there.
Man, and it took, and this is terrible, but it took me a while to piece this all together because I couldn't, the first time I tried to tell Hank about it, I was stammering and stuttering, and I didn't even come straight home. I went to my brother's house, brother number two. I went to his house for a little while just to, oh my God, did this really happen? Like, yeah. I really needed to reach out to family and was really glad he was around for that.
Well, and anything like that, I mean, hate to be calculated, but you need to get your side of the story out before she starts calling all the family that you threw water on her and whatever she's going to say, and you know, which
it is. And
so, like, as you held her, all right, so you said she was going to hit you again. You basically held her arm and stopped her from hitting you.
Yeah.
Then what?
She just struggled for a little while, and I just held her. I'm probably 6 inches taller than her. And I weigh the same as she does, but mine is, I'm 45, she's 68.
Right.
I have muscle. I just held her.
Right.
And I just held her there, and she struggled. And I said, really? And she kept struggling. And I said, okay, I'm gone. And I just kind of let her go, and I backed to the door.
Hold the
and
mic.
I left.
You what now?
And I backed to the door and I left.
Okay.
So,
nothing else was said, just walked out.
Nope, I walked out. I got in the vehicle, and I didn't hear, like, I kind of waited a second. I was like, is she going to come out on the porch and, like, change her mind about this craziness? I really should have ran before she got the freaking gun out and started shooting or something like that. Now I'm kind of like, oh, holy shit. But I went down the road and called you and said, what do I do? And then you said, well, you need to call her and see if she wants you to come back and try to
that's my advice
out.
I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, and I did. And she said, I can't talk, I'm cleaning water off my cabinets. Click.
Okay.
And so I left.
What a crazy story.
That's nuts.
And so you're wrangling, of course, and you know, as a husband, I'm trying to give some advice without overstepping boundaries. So
yeah,
I'm walking on eggshells, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But for what it's worth, any of our listeners want to tweet advice, I mean, I'm sure whatever about the situation. But my advice, like I keep saying, is to figure out some boundary and set this boundary. But I bet a lot of people are thinking from this story, the same as me, like, I'd never go back. A lot of people would say, there's a lot of people out there that would say, I don't care if that's your mom, dad, brother, sister. Nobody hits me. Nobody acts like that without.
See, in my family, but mom's allowed to. Like, and that's how it's always been.
Didn't you say she's hit you before?
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, I'm not talking as a kid.
Yeah.
First of all, that's abuse if somebody hits you as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking a swat on the butt when you're when you're 4 years old. Did she hit you, like, when you're in grade school?
Like, yes.
Seventh, eighth grade-ish?
I took the ACT with a black eye.
See, that's...
I got very good at covering that up.
What else can you call that but abuse?
It was all I ever knew.
Well, it's still abuse. Yeah. I hope you understand that.
I do.
I'm sorry that your mom abused you, but that sounds like... I mean, that my parents I don't even remember ever getting spanked. Obviously,
really?
I had to as a very little kid. Obviously, I had
to.
But never was I ever touched by mom or dad. That just seems so foreign to me.
Well, I've had conversations with brother number two about this. This is why I was going back in the bathroom. And we've talked about this a little bit more, and I think he needed to be aware of this. That I am aware that my childhood was spent being a weapon between, usually mom would wind me up and shoot me at dad, you know, and I had just been conditioned for this. Like, mom, as a teenager once, she told me that my dad had raped her, had forced sex upon her, and she didn't want to do it, and she was bloody and sore and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, like, so I'm like 14 years old.
Good Lord.
Hate his guts at this point.
Yeah.
And I really don't think this is true. I mean, I am a grown adult and can look back on these stories, I have seen my mother put things together in her mind that make her look like the victim and the adult in situations. And she's been doing this to me my entire life. Like, it's called gaslighting. Like, my grasp of reality was severely shaken by this. But, like, these stories were used to control me and to make me angry and volatile and crazy. And, you know, it took turning 18, going to college, and getting completely out of their control. Like, when I took my first job, I had, you know, no financial support from parents whatsoever. College, I had very, very, very sparse support, but it was completely gone when I had for my first job. And that's when I got away from it completely.
Right.
No more mind games. And I could, like, relate to Dad just on who he was as a person to me instead of these shitty stories from Mom.
Right.
And I could do that with all the members of my family because it's a totally different picture than what you're hearing from her. And
did your dad ever hit you growing up?
A few times.
A few times.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
Okay.
But again,
not as much as Mom.
About 50-50.
Damn. That's just unbelievable.
But again,
I mean, it sounds like you're comparing, like, you know, you're almost saying, well, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't as bad as her, but
she had the mind games going. And honestly, if I had a choice between getting beat and the emotional abuse, I'll take the ass whipping every time.
Well, but that's a ridiculous choice that nobody should ever have to make. That is just ridiculous. I mean, it happened. You can't undo the past,
but it is
dumb. And I want you to realize that is not normal. That is dumb.
I am realizing that. I really, really, truly am. But it's a hard pill to swallow that
your parents abused you.
Yeah, that's been your whole life.
Well,
that's all you've ever known. And it's. I don't know. I'm coming to terms with it. I'm accepting a lot. For one thing, I'm not going to be able to, like, I can't go back. I tried to text her about, you know, we'll try to talk later, and she's flipped it all in her head. She's said that she would get a restraining order on me if she needed to. I mean, she's really completely delusional. Like, her grasp of reality, like, it's not there.
Yeah,
it's
see,
not there.
I mean,
she sees how it makes her look like the victim.
See, I just have the only advice I have is this sounds weird. And it sounds like something that you would get mad at me for saying.
Yeah,
why
but
I don't
just
like
stay
to
away.
Say it.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. I mean, if somebody is abusing you.
Well, that is what for people who are dealing with a loved one with borderline personality disorder, which is what I do believe my mom has, that it's called no contact. And that's what I've had to do. And I've had to tell brother number two, who is a great source of support, but unfortunately, yeah, he still gets pulled in sometimes. You know, he's still talking to her. She's
well,
gonna
of course.
Be,
these,
you know,
these little ladies.
And, you know, he's like, well, you can write a letter and maybe it'll explain it better, and maybe she'll understand and kind of forgive you. And it's like, I don't think I want forgiven. I don't think I want forgiveness.
And I respectfully don't think that will work either.
Yeah, I don't either.
People read what they want to read, no matter how you craft it.
Yeah.
Somebody looking to be offended will be offended.
Oh, she's going
to be
for
mad.
A long time.
Will be mad.
It's, she's going to be furious for a long time, and when she realizes I'm not crawling back begging for forgiveness, she's going to flip her shit. I mean, she will lose her mind.
I hate you having to go through all this, Petra.
I do too, because all I want is for her to get some mental health help.
Yeah. Well, I would think, and you have a therapist you go to once in a while.
Absolutely. He'll have some, thank God.
He'll have some great advice and all that. Yeah. But I would think my rational, logical self that I don't think I would ever see her again unless some boundaries, some clear rules were established and somehow stick to those. As in, no, you're not going to.
It's just sad because I'm very realistic and I don't think she's going to accept boundaries.
No, she's probably
not. I just
don't. No, she probably won't. No, I get it.
And if one of my brothers wants to host a holiday meal and, you know, play peacemaker for like one holiday year or something, if they can promise me that she won't be packing heat, I'll go. And I mean that. No, I mean, my mother is, she carries a concealed pistol all the time and she's got something to prove. And she's furious with me. There's no fucking way I'm going anywhere near her.
Well, let's face it, too. Holidays, that's when people get shot around here.
Yep.
We don't have a lot of murder, homicide. It's well, except around holidays.
Yeah, and it's all family members shooting each other.
It's just like this. It's some forced situation where, you know, some ex-brother-in-law is seeing his kids with the new husband of the ex-wife. And before you know it, it's... And I'll blow your head off, you some bitch. And they do.
Yep. Oh, and on top of all this, I also had broken a tooth 2 days earlier. And she hit me in the same side of the mouth as a broken tooth. It has just been a delight this week.
Well, it's been an adventure.
Yeah. You put up with me. You've been good.
Well, I've tried. And you know, I have my daddy issues. He's still alive. My mom passed away years ago, but yeah. I've told you my solution. I go to see my dad once every month or so. It's a short 1 hour visit and I'm out. And even if something half hour into it, I can maybe ignore it a little bit, but if it's much, I'll just make an excuse and leave.
That's when I would do that. I would drive 3 hours down there, visit an hour, and go back. And but honestly,
that.
not unsupervised right now. There's no way she'd have to have supervised visitation.
Give that lady some boxing gloves.
Huh? Yes. Dang.
Some of these little what's the word? Patriarchal. Is that the word?
Uh-huh.
Like of the families. Like they can be little terrors.
Oh, matriarchs, yes.
Matriarch, yes. The one to control everything, not being, I don't know. From her one little text she sent, it just sounded like there's some jealousy too. When she's like, go back to your perfect life or whatever. It was something like that. It was some adjective like, you know, you don't need to worry about me up here. You just go back to your great life you're leading and you don't have time for me because you're just leading such a great life. It was something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something that was obvious, like a push your button jealousy kind of a thing.
It was obvious
silly.
This year. Anything, any good moment that I have, any trip that we take, anything, it's ashes in her mouth.
Well, I don't guess it's everybody. And we try to surround ourselves with a lot of positive people in general.
Yeah.
Like, some of these people were friends, we'd never even consider hanging out with them at all. Like my dad.
Yes.
And some of my other relatives. But, you know, I mean, I have some relatives, too, that are slowly doing this being jealous type stuff. And I never thought in my whole life that would be an issue. We don't brag. I drive literally a 10, it's probably 12 years old now, pickup truck.
Yeah.
We live the most meager, you know what I'm saying? We're not flashy. We don't put on a show. I never, in fact, I purposely try in a weird way to dress down and not have a fancy truck or a car or something.
Yeah, yeah. It feels ostentatious. And I don't ever want to do that. I don't want to be the big wig.
Right. And we still have your mom jealous. Yeah. And frankly, I feel like my sister is some jealous.
Yeah.
She throws out little jabs at family funerals and inappropriate times that are obvious jealous jabs.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just
painful.
Odd.
It's painful and it's weird. And
not that don't get me wrong. I mean, we're not, Warren Buffett here or anything, but we are successful business people. And people know us in town.
So are they.
I know. All these people that are... your mom has...
My mom is living on more a month. Her, just her, is living on more a month than we budget.
There you go.
So...
and my sister is doing wonderful. Her and her husband are high up in their careers, doing great.
Pinnacle,
But I don't know. It's odd.
Yeah.
I don't know how to deal with it exactly, but
I don't either.
Like, I won't say anything because I know it'll start something.
Yeah, and I don't, yeah.
So
I
try not to do that, or I don't want to do that. So I just do, like I said, I'll just try to see him very limited, maybe 3 or 4 times a year, spend an hour or two with him.
Yeah.
Try to stay off the subjects.
That start the...
If they attack, almost like the... What's that? Sansun's
Art of War.
Art of War. Yeah. When they attack, we retreat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I don't know. What else can you do?
I'm not sure. But that is, it's a way complicated mother-daughter relationship. And I've been exploring that this whole year. And it's hurt reading these books on borderline personality, but there's not a lot you can do. It's like if somebody doesn't want to cope with their inability to deal with emotional outbursts, then there's nothing you can do about it except stay away.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So
I don't know. It's just one of these times where interpersonal relationships are
tough.
They're getting both of us.
They're getting both of us. And I do forgive Mom. I'm not mad at her. I'm not harboring a grudge. I just want to protect myself and remove myself from the situation. I'm sad. I'm resigned. But I accept that there's nothing I can do.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's a weird, I think, good thing. I'm glad we live about 3 hours away.
Yeah.
If this was next door, this would have absolutely, she would want you there every day.
Yeah.
Hours. Well, I got one more. Speaking of
let's do a more upbeat story for the end there.
Well, I don't know if it's an upbeat story, but it's just, I was just going to say, I'm planning a reunion or helping plan a high school reunion. 30 years, by the way.
Oh.
We had our first meeting the other for this about a week or so ago. And, this is a couple hours away from where we live, too.
Uh-huh.
So when I drive these meetings, it's a bit of a drive. So the first, and we meet at a Bob Evans, because there's nothing else in that town to meet at, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
I meet a girl who I can tell this Bob Evans is deserted at like 8 o'clock at night. So people coming in that's about my age group, of course, they're going to be classmates.
Exactly.
Well, who else is whatever. So I'm waiting there. A girl comes in about my age, kind of thin, tall chick.
Uh-huh.
And I stand up because I just know she's part of this reunion committee. This girl recognizes me. She says, "Oh, Hank, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah." So she recognized my name.
And then you're like, shit, I don't know her name.
And I didn't know her. I'm like, now, what is your name? I don't recognize you. And you could tell she got like
a little miffed
about it. Well, what do you mean you don't know who I am? You don't remember me? We went to grade school and we went to high school and blah. I'm like, I are you going to keep berating me or are you going to tell me your fucking name? Like, that's what I want to basically say.
Yeah, it makes you not want to be on the reunion committee.
Because it's been 30 fucking years.
Yes.
It's not like I live in this town anymore where this high school is.
And see people on a regular
basis. I tried to make a joke. I'm like, well, I said, it has been 30 years. I said, we kind of change. And she says, I'm Tina. My name's Tina. And I do not, there's no ounce of recognition. I'm like, oh, yeah. I just fake it. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, Tina. I remember Tina. Yeah, oh, yeah, Tina.
How are you been?
How you been, Tina?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you just have to change subject. Go on.
So I go on, and, you know, then other people arrive. There's probably four other people. We sit down at a little table, order a little bit of food, a little hamburger or something bullshit, and we're exchanging. Everybody's exchanging info.
Yeah.
You know, just writing down. I have a little notepad. I'm asking everybody to write their info on this notepad.
Uh-huh.
She writes her name on there as Tina. No last name, no middle name, just Tina. So I still don't know who the hell this person is. And so.
Well, do you have an old yearbook that you can look up Tina's?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And I figured this out. And then while we're at the table, first of all, it's weird because everybody starts talking about all the people that's died. They start talking about,
this person
died in the class. Oh, this person died. What about this person? Blah, blah, blah. It was just like, oh, that person, I heard they had cancer last year. They're doing better. It was either major medical illness or death was what we talked about for a good 30 to 40 minutes. So getting on that subject, Tina pulls her phone out and she's like, oh, well, you know, let me show you this. She shows us this picture and it's of her. Literally, she said in that picture, she weighed 390 pounds. The girl in front of me weighs about 130 or 40. Literally, she's lost over 200 pounds. Easy. She lost a person, and she's giving me shit because I don't recognize her. Once she showed me her picture, oh, yeah, Tina. Then I could halfway recognize her. But why would somebody not be enough considerate to think that if you lost...
Losing 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag about that.
Yeah. I'd be like, well, you don't recognize me because I lost 200 pounds. I'm Tina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tina? And then maybe, oh, here's a picture. Like, you should carry around... If you've lost 200 pounds.
It says if you've lost 200 pounds, nobody, you have to carry an alternate ID.
Yes. Nobody from your past pre-weight loss.
See, I would feel good about that. If I had lost that much weight and somebody didn't flip and recognize me, I would feel great about that.
Well, she seemed to be all offended by it, so whatever.
Well.
So I finally did figure out her last name and all that. But I'm just pointing out that since we're on the subject, that people can be jerks.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell's the matter
with
you people?
But you know what? I'm really trying to rid myself of the negative glasses through which I was looking at the world through.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's certainly helpful.
It is. It is. It's been good so far.
Well, you know, we all have to try. Sometimes the world just gets you down. I don't care how many positive affirmations you do. I don't care what you do. There are days that you just cannot help it, right?
Yeah. Well, I had a Tuesday here a while back. I jammed the printer. So much bad stuff went on. I broke my tooth. I started to go for a walk, and I saw there was road construction. I said, fuck that, I will die in traffic. And I went, I just skipped a walk because I knew
right.
I would walk right in front of a bus.
Right. I mean, we're human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, we have emotions and things get to you. And you know, sometimes I find myself feeling bad if I feel bad. And like once in a while, I mean, obviously everything in moderation. If you feel bad all the time, then
it's
that's not good.
Do something, yeah.
But there's going to be at least 10% of the time, right, where you just, whatever, you feel a little blah, you feel a little something.
Wow, you only feel blah 10% of the time.
I don't know. I was just throwing it out there. The point is, I'm not miserable and mad at the world any more than that.
That's true.
And 10% is generous as far as just being mad. And I can usually snap myself out of it. Rarely. I don't know. I've been having epiphanies lately. Maybe I've had them forever. But I just feel guilty complaining or just about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we have it made.
Yeah.
There's no, like, if I get stopped at a red light, or hell, even if somebody was to bump me in traffic, a car accident, as long as I'm not bodily hurt, I'm honestly going to try to look at it as, it's a truck. It's no big deal. We'll get it fixed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to be one of these people that just let things.
Anger take you to level 12 fury instantly. Right. Yeah. Same. I'm really trying. And that was one thing this week has proven to me, you know, my therapy going talking about mindfulness and stuff. I definitely kept my cool. I mean, I didn't.
That's good.
It's been worthwhile.
it's a journey for everybody to work on that.
Oh.
And it'll never be completed, because sooner or later, like I said, there's some jerk that's going to get in your face. You can't help it. And you're going to get mad. Yeah, and you're going to get mad about it. So you do the best you can.
Yeah.
But we're certainly.
We're trying our best.
We don't have anything to complain about in general. We just don't.
No, we don't.
So I really try to look at it in a big picture perspective kind of a way. In a positive light. That's exactly right. All right. Tell everybody where they can find us.
Well, go to hillbillynerdtalk.com, and you can from there find Hank's Twitter and my Pinterest.
That's the places we're most active. Once in a while, I'll get on Facebook, but honestly, not that much.
So don't expect anything back quick.
Exactly.
All right, everybody, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.